The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift to the altar, if you remember that you have a brother or sister that has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come back and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or he may hand you over to the judge, and from the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid every last penny. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one member than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one member than for your whole body to go into hell. It is also said that whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely,' but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear on your own head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated, and I'll invite any of the children who'd like to come up for a children's message to meet me up front here. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we excited to be at church?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Do you guys like these type of things? You ever play with them? Isn't that fun? You guys having fun? I'm having fun. You know what? I bet I could allow you to have fun too. You guys want to have fun? Do you want to have this much fun? I'll be right back. One, two, three, four, five. How many more we need? We got everybody? Calvin? All right. So all at once, we're going to do it. Nope. Okay. All right, I'll see if I can be ambidextrous. This might not go well, but you ready? Is that cool? Do you know who You know who else needs to have fun? Your parents. Go get your parents. Go get them. Bring them up here because we have more. Go on. Go get them. Go get them. Bring them up here. Come on. Come on. Bring them up here. We're all going to have fun this morning. Come on. Come on, parents. There we go. Oh, you guys were just like, what's going on?
Any more parents? Calvin, you ready for it yet? All right, guys.
Randy,
yeah.
In your exuberance, I believe you pulled a cable off your transmitter or something.
Yes, no? That's it. Maybe I hit the mute button? I don't know.
Only Bob.
Oh, my goodness. So you guys will never let me go to another conference again that talks about disturbing the church. But God's grace is a disturbance. Most of the time. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you. Amen. So there's two ways I want to lift up today's message out of the several ways that you can take it. Well, first, how many people in here drive? Raise your hand if you drive. All right. So we're all liable to the fire of hell together, right? As soon as it said, when you say, you fool, I'm like, oh no. But that's why we're reminded of God's grace, right, and forgiveness, and exactly why I put in that long, extensively long confession this morning, the one we usually normally hear during and going into Lent on Ash Wednesday. I wanted to bring that to bear because, man, I don't know about you, but the more I looked at this message, I'm just waiting for the grace to show up. Please, God, let me see where your love through our Lord Jesus Christ is coming from, because it just kept on going on about law and law and law. But exactly that's what Jesus was talking about last week. If you're able to get here last week, we heard Pastor Mike say these words, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Jesus says, "I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." And in our own Lutheran upbringing, we hear the three uses of the law, right? To curb, through fear of punishment, the law keeps the sinful nature of both Christians and non-Christians under check. This does not stop sin, since sin is already committed when the heart desires to do what is wrong. Yet it does stop the open outbreak of sin that will do even further damage. And two, the second law, it's the mirror. The law serves as a perfect reflection of what God created the human heart and life to be. It shows anyone who compares his or her life to God's requirement for perfection that he or she is sinful. And then the third use of the law. This use of the law is called the guide, and it applies only to Christians. The law becomes the believer's helper, empowered by the gospel truth of forgiveness and righteousness in Christ. The believer's new self eagerly desires to live to please the triune God. And usually, we just don't need the reminding of how short we fall, or at least I'll own that. I don't need a reminder of how short I fall. But once again, just in case you did, that's why we did the longer confession this morning. But today I want to talk about, it should remind us of how Jesus describes this new way of life that we should be living in the kingdom, when the kingdom comes near. What's that actually mean? It means that we have the opportunity to live within this law. And that could give us a glimpse of what the kingdom looks like. So the first view is nothing but law. But the second view, it helps if we are reminded of who he is talking to. Jesus is just starting in the book of Matthew to begin his ministry. And it started with the Beatitudes. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Blessed are those who are persecuted for Jesus' account. And while I was thinking about this and having the thought, what does this mean? I'm a good Lutheran, right? How many people had to memorize during confirmation, the small catechism, right? Yeah. I saw a couple of you twitch when I said, what does this mean? In our hymnals, it actually has the small catechism. So open your hymnals to page 1160, way in the back. Those of you who might have forgotten, Martin Luther, when he was writing the small catechism, would ask the simple question after each of the commandments, the articles of the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, what does this mean? So if we look at the fifth commandment, it should be at the bottom of 1116, you shall not murder. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them and all of life's needs. Jesus is proclaiming what the kingdom of God should and could look like, especially with the laws in place and understood, which is a tricky thing, right? Whose interpretation of the law will we follow? Well, Jesus is trying to communicate that in this passage, this gospel that we heard today. And not simply to go up to the law and stop before you cross it. I mean, how many people do that? I was only speeding like 5 miles over the speed limit. That's not really speeding. Well, I found that loophole in taxes. I can do that. It's all right. How many times do we justify to ourselves the certain things that we know that probably shouldn't do, but yet we want to know where that law is so we can go right up to that line, maybe even peek over it a little bit, and then be able to say, well, that's not me. But rather, our responsibility is to understand the meaning of the law and try to live the best of our ability to live into it. Jesus says, you should not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So in our first way of looking at this, it's all law. We can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Understand. We already know that. It's very convicting. The second way, if we look at through the lens of the Beatitudes, if we look at it through, blessed are those who are meek, who hunger. Now, no matter how we live our lives and where we're at in our lives, if we take advantage of certain laws, it might be hurting those who mourn. It might be hurting those who hunger. It might be hurting. And can you imagine people that were hearing this and identifying with those? Blessed are you who have never been blessed before. And now he's telling them, if you just say something against your brother or sister, you might be breaking the law. How many of people take advantage of their prestige and their place in life and don't give the little guy their rights and their dues? Can you imagine what these words that we interpret fully as law were more than likely a breath of fresh air, because Jesus was talking specifically to them, the ones who had always been ostracized, the ones that had always been left out, the ones that had always been taken advantage of, never had a voice before. This is where the glory of God breaks in to our world, and that's where the kingdom of heaven is found. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So page 1161, you shall not commit adultery. Should be at the top of the page. We are to fear and love God so that we lead pure and decent lives in word and deed, and each of us loves and honors his or her spouse. So this and the divorce one are so close together. And it's very hard, because in this day and age, we think of, oh my goodness, that must be very self-convicting to anybody who was divorced. And my heart goes out to all of you, because your situations in your own perspective are very difficult and challenging and hard. Don't hear that you have done anything wrong through this word, because Jesus is actually identifying the women of the time who were treated exactly like property. And simply, the man was ready for a new wife. So according to the law, all he had to do was write it up with a certificate and hand it over to her. And it's truly a reflection on the patriarchal society that they lived back then than it has to do with any type of divorce we know today. God loves you and wants everyone to be honored and respected within their marriage. Please hear that. That grace abounds for all of you. Once again, Jesus is talking to the people of the time and saying, look, you can't, just to be within the law, put this as a veil for you to make you think that you are all right. This law is something much deeper than that. You must fully respect and honor your wife or your husband. And the 10th commandment, it even goes down at the bottom. You shall covet, not covet your wife's or male or female slave. You shall not covet your neighbor's wives or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. It just goes to prove that they wives back then were looked upon as more property than they were as an equal. So again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, and let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. And we see in the 8th commandment, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does that mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Can we just inject that into our whole political system? Can we? Oh my goodness. What would that look like? I think people would actually believe that the end times were coming if we saw political people standing up everywhere, doubting, giving their opponents compliments. Right? We think that this is so far away from our grasp. Oh, this will never happen, Pastor. Darn it, that is what hope is for. That is what the love of God is for. It has to be able to happen. Because without that, we have no hope. And I know we have hope because we have Jesus Christ. We have Jesus every Sunday. We have Jesus standing right up there on the corner. Jesus is with us all the time. And that is our hope. And that hope starts with us and how we treat our neighbors and how we treat our spouses and how we treat our church and how we become more inviting to people. And how we get excited about what is going on within our church and our communities that spread the love of Jesus Christ, right? That is the hope that we have. That is the hope that we get to shout from mountaintops, our lowest valleys, everywhere that we go. Now, this doesn't mean that we're not going to say, you fool, the next time we get cut off in traffic. It's going to happen. But that's why we come to church. We bring forth our sins, we ask for forgiveness, we confess, and then we go out and do it all over again, the best way we know how, knowing that we are renewed with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope. That is the inbreaking of the kingdom of God that happens within the law that we are given. It's more than gospel. Well, I'm not even sure I should say it that way because the gospel is everything. But it is us finally interpreting that the law is our gospel as long as it does not interfere with people's prosperity, people's fitness, people's health, people's well-being. It's going to be our guide. It's going to be our mirror. It's going to be the curb that keeps us on the right track. And also, last week we heard the reason we have it is so that we can be the salt and the earth. The salt and... help me out, people. Light of the world. And I kept on looking for it. I didn't have it underlined. The salt and the light of the world. Amen.